You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead at two Monday evenings action in Nice. We have a flat card to look forward to there, including some listed action. So a good evening in prospect. My name is Mark Walton and joining me on the line is William Hill Radio's Irish Racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Pretty good, mate. Yeah, pretty good.
Good. You must be quite excited about this time of year. You've got a decent enough card in Nice tonight and then we've got the Punchestown Festival starting tomorrow.
Yeah, Punchestown tomorrow. Yeah, it's coming around quickly, hasn't it? Yeah, we're... Before sort of like Aintree was upon us, it seemed like still a long way away. But that's flew by, and McCoy's retired, and now it's Punchestown. It's Punchestown without McCoy as well, which is going to take a little bit getting used to.
It is. Looking at our race card without seeing his name there next to the JP McManus horse is going to be a bit strange, isn't it?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's going to take a while for everyone to get used to McCoy not booting home the winners, and in particular, sort of getting him out of jail. You know, in the middle of the summer as well. I mean, don't forget Tony McCoy would be starting now. He'd be looking for, you know, 4 or 5 rides a day, riding all the night cards and, you know, those ones that were short priced in the JP McManus colours. Last race at Worcester on a Wednesday night. You know, punters are going to have to look elsewhere now, which is a real culture shock for a lot of punters.
Mm. You'll be going to Punchestown again, won't you, Andy?
I will, yeah. I'm flying over to... Not flying over, I'm getting the boat tomorrow. Yeah, I'll be there bright and early, ready for the first race, and yeah, I'll be there all week, so hopefully talking to one or two people, giving me all the insight, and yeah, looking forward to it. Looks a good starting point as well tomorrow with a couple of grade ones, so yeah, it'll be a hectic week as usual, but good fun.
Yeah, should be good fun. We'll be hearing from Andy throughout the week as well, throughout all of Punchestown. But let's get stuck into Nice this evening. The first race is the 5:10. We start here with an Irish Stallion Farms EBF maiden over 6 furlongs, and Stone Mountain is the 9-4 favourite. It's 5-1 for Caribbean Spring. Chasing Tomorrow is 7s into 5s. 11-2 for Escondida. Munsheed is 7s and 8s, or bigger for the others. Who'd you like in the opener, Andy? Because there's not much form to go on, is there?
No, it is difficult, obviously, for me to have a strong view here without seeing the horses on the way down to the start and how the betting's shaping up. So I've got to put something up now. So the only one I really can realistically go for at this stage is Chasing Tomorrow, who I tipped on the podcast first time up at Dundalk the other day. And although he was out the frame, he certainly did enough to suggest that he could be winning a race or two in the not-too-distant future. And on the face of it, it actually wasn't a bad effort actually to finish fourth, because we've already seen the form work out really well. Washington DC was second one at Tipperary the other night, and the speed figure of the race is actually one of the fastest 2-year-old races we've got so far this season, so I've got to stick with the form anyway, notwithstanding there might be something useful in there as well. And at the price this morning, you know, we're looking at sort of 5-6 to 1. You can back it each way with the experience under its belt. If it runs up to that level or maybe improves a little bit more, it's actually hard to see it not finishing the first three and at least giving us a safe run for our money, which is all we are requiring in a race like this. Clearly, there's going to be plenty of other activity and talk about the likes of Stone Mountain, Caribbean Spring and Escondida from Powerful Stables, who've made good starts to the season. But I do like Mickey Callaghan. I don't think he's out of his depth in races like this. Sort of normal... run-of-the-mill punters would be sort of looking and thinking, how can a guy like this take on the big boys? But he's done it before. I'm sure he'll do it again. And with this horse who ran well on debut, he looks, like I say, a decent each-way bet in the first.
Decent each-way bet there for Andy then. In the opener, the 5:40 is the second race on the card. This one is an apprentice handicap over 6 furlongs. Very open race as well. 11-2 the field this morning with Lady Ranger heading the market. Bit of money for Barbecue, who's 13-2 into sixes. 13-2 for Gialica. Sophie Spirit is 8-1. 10s for Bought for a Song and Cappadocia. And 12-1 are bigger prices for the others. But just a couple to note there. Dunard Prince, 16s into 12s. And Les Darcy is 20s into 16s this morning. So a few market moves, Andy, in what's an open race. Who would you recommend in the 5:40?
Well, the first thing to mention before we go any further is the draw here at Nice, which is often a sore subject throughout the season. it's very difficult to get it right on the very first night because we're not sure how the ground's going to ride, and because of that, where the jockeys are likely to race. There is a bit of a rule of thumb at Nace when the ground's on the easy side, or particularly soft, genuine soft, that the middle to stand side have an advantage. And when the ground's quick, they tend to race on the far side rail, and therefore the low numbers have an advantage. So you've got a bit of a quandary here, because you've got the favourite here, Lady Ranger, drawn in stall one, which could be a good draw, but could be an absolute tragic draw. And then you've got Barbecue, which is my selection, drawn in 16, which could be an absolute brilliant draw. I'm going to sort of stick my neck out and go for the middle to high numbers and have a little bit of a guess, because I think that's where most of the pace is as well. Barbecue has run two very encouraging races so far this season. First of all, over what looked an inadequate trip, five furlongs at Cork, when running quite well behind Rory's little sister, and then was up to 7.5 furlongs, which was almost a bridge too far at Tipperary, but once again ran quite well, despite, for me, not quite getting the trip. She now runs over what I consider to be, hopefully, her best trip. I actually wrote down in my notes the first time out that she needs 6 furlongs, not 7.5. So right bang in the middle of a sort of like distance range, this should be ideal for her tonight. Like I say, drawn in 16, that ran where lots of the front runners are, right down the middle. Hopefully that'll be the place to be. And with Keith Moriarty on board as well, a really good apprentice with the yard going well. Everything looks set fair for a really good run from Barbecue. And it's 6-1 with William Hill. That looks a tasty each way bet to boot as well.
Barbecue friendly then in the 5:40. The 6:10 is the third race on the card. This is a handicap over 6 furlongs, a field of 14 here, and In Salutum is 6-1 into 9-2 at the top of the market. Bubbly Bellini is 11-2, having touched 13-2. It's 13-2 for Togoville, 8 for Balmont Mast, and Fit for the Job, who's been supported from 12s. 9-1 for Ansider, and 10s or bigger for the others. Another difficult handicap, really, Andy. So who do you like in there?
Yeah, it's always difficult to be very confident, isn't it, race like this? But I've got to go with my numbers. My numbers suggest that In Salutum and Shipyard are the two horses to concentrate on here. First of all, In Salutum, who won that race at the Curragh the other day in a very quick time. He comes back to the track that saw him finish second to Great Canyon last year, so he obviously goes well here. He's had a couple of runs under his belt as well of late, so he's fitting well. And I was really impressed with him the other day when he won at the Curragh. It was a race where I had a couple of bets in there, and they both got absolutely smashed to bits by this horse. Master Speaker, who finished second, he bumped into a very progressive mare called Chicklet, excuse me, at Dundalk the other night, and did absolutely nothing wrong. He actually ran to the same figure that he did the day at the Curragh that he did the other night at Dundalk. So I think the form's all right, you know, and the way that Interluton finishes off his races, he should be there or thereabouts. He's drawn right in the middle as well, so gives Shane Fairley plenty of options to go with where the track bias is tonight. And the other one to mention, of course, is Shipyard, who finished fifth in that race. I actually wrote down on my sheet that day that he needed the run badly and will come on for the run. He also, similarly to In Salutum, has run here once and finished second. He was run up to Machete Mark here last year over 7 furlongs when he didn't quite stay. This is his ideal distance, and he's drawn stall 10. So again, absolutely perfect, really, somewhere down the middle. So there's no reason to suggest why we shouldn't get a massive run for our money with these two. They're top of the figures, they've both got horse form, they're both fitting well. So In Salutum, round about 9-2, 5-1 this morning, along with that Shipyard, are my two against the field in the 6:10.
A couple to consider there then in the 6:10. The 6:40 is the fourth race on the card. This is an Irish Stallion Farms EBF Fillies maiden. It's over 5 furlongs. And another Aidan O'Brien newcomer heading the market in Dancing on Air, who's 9-4. It's 4-1 for Most Beautiful. Gleaner is 9-2. 11-2 for Promise Money. And sixes or bigger for the others. Only Athasak and Bracklin Princess have seen a race course before, Andy, and their form doesn't really cut much ice. So do you see this going to a newcomer?
It could well do, yeah. The ones who've already shown form haven't done much, as you say. Interesting little market move this morning, making me believe that several connections sat fancy their chances. We've got a little bit of cash in the direction of Promise Money from the Edward Lynham stable. Of course, Edward, this could be a big night for him because he's got the favourite in the next, Anthem Alexandra. And it'd be a great boost of confidence if this horse manages to justify the money for it this morning. However, I quite like the sort of the shape of Most Beautiful. David Watchman's had a fairly slowy start for the season for him, but things are beginning to look a little bit upward now, particularly as the ground's drying out. And Legatissimo obviously franked that belief yesterday with a good victory down in Gowran. And this is from the first crop of Camford Cliffs as well, a horse who was a very good two-year-old, as we well know, and then went on to be a good older horse. Maybe 5 furlongs might just be a little bit too sharp for it on its debut. But either way, I'm definitely going to be keeping my eye on her more than Mo. So it's a token selection. It's a little bit of a guess, but everything points in the direction of a good run from Most Beautiful.
On to the 7-10, next the big race of the evening. This is race 5 on the card, and it's the Woodland Stakes, which is a listed race over 5 furlongs. Anthem Alexander, 13-8 into 11-8 at the top of the market. Also money for the second favourite, Great Minds, who's 6s into 9-2. It's then 5-1 for Marek, 7-1 for ANEP. Jamesy is 12s and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. So the top two in the betting, Anthem Alexander and Great Minds, are the two that punters seem to be coming for this morning, Andy.
Yeah, definitely. One of them, of course, cracked two-year-old from last season, the filly Anthem Alexandra, and the informed sprinter this season so far, Great Minds. But again, a lot will depend on the draw. And of course, we get a chance, this is a good thing about this 7-10, to already see how the draw is panning out, because we will have already had three races on the straight track, 5-10, 5-40 and the 6-10. By then, we should have worked out where you want to be on the track. So if it's down the middle and they're coming away from that far side rail, then I think Anthem Alexandra is definitely going to be hard to beat. She sets a really good standard from last year. Of course, Royal Ascot winner, third to Tiggy Wiggy at York, and then chasing home Richard Hannion's crack two-year-old on her final run in the Group 1 at Newmarket. She comes out really well on my numbers. She's a big, tall filly as well. I think most paddock watchers will be looking forward to seeing her, to see how much she's grown from last year and strengthened up. She was a big bull of a horse, and I think she'll only improve from 2 to 3. But you have got Great Minds if you didn't want to back the favourite, and perhaps the draw isn't so significantly favouring down the middle, because he's in great form at the moment. He's a horse I've always liked. How I managed to get this horse beat when I napped him on the 29th of March is absolutely a mystery to me. He posted a massive figure towards the middle of last season at the Curra. I thought he was an absolute certainty the day when he made his seasonal reappearance, only for Wayne Lorden to give him an absolutely tragic ride. And then, of course, next time out, when I didn't do a podcast, he bolted up in a listed race. So I managed to get him beaten 11-10 in a handicap where he should have bolted up. But like I say, he's a horse I like. He travels well. He loves a bit of give in the ground. He stays strongly. And I think he's going to be equally effective over 5 than he is at 6. And at 5-1 this morning, it's just almost impossible to see Great Minds not being in the thick of the action from an each-way perspective. So despite Anthem Alexander having all the possible positives you could think of, I'm also a massive fan of Great Minds. I'm going to have to stick with him, and particularly at the price.
Okay, good each way bet for Andy then. In the listed race, on to the 7:40 next, the penultimate race on the card. This one is a mile handicap and vitally important, and Albior Clown are the 92 joint favourites. It's 6-1 for Lean and Keen. Burn the Boats is 15-2, 9-1 for Defining Year, 11-1 for Vector Force and Intense Style, and 12s or bigger for the others. Who do you like in that race, Andy?
Yeah, I'm quite surprised to see Vital Important so strong in the market, unless I'm missing something. I thought he ran just okay first time up at Leopardstown, but not a lot more than okay. At 4-1, he makes little limited appeal at that price. Arbior Clown is a horse that I've tipped before on the podcast, and it wouldn't surprise me if he managed to win today. No, I'm not going to go with him. I was a bit disappointed with him the other day, funny enough, at the Curra. I didn't think he found a great deal off the bridle. He stuck his head in the air as well, so I want to go with Lean and Keen here, who was second at this meeting last year, beyond Intensical, having tried to make all the running. And he did, or tried to do exactly the same the other day. Those tactics were in the ascendancy when just cut off in the latter stages by Princess Aloof. But as we've seen, Princess Aloof has gone on to win subsequently, so that form has been boosted. And with that run under his belt, he should be a little bit sharper tonight. But the one thing I will say with Nace, as we go through the course of the year, often front runners dominate. It's not particularly long running at Nace, but if you get on that far run, you get into a little bit of a rhythm. Horses making ground from the back of the field tend to struggle. They seem to be swimming against the tide. So with a low draw, a forceful ride, a run under its belt, and a good run here at the track last year, at 6-1, Lean and Keen makes really good sound each-way appeal in that 7:40.
And on to the final race next, the 8-10. It's race 7 on the card. We finish here with a median auction maiden over a mile, and the market headed by Valak, who's 4-7. 11-2 for Letter Focus. Cradle Mountain is 6s. 8s for Newbury New, and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. So a pretty short price favourite in Valak, Andy. Do you see him justifying that price?
Not necessarily, no. I must admit, when I saw this price this morning, I nearly fainted, to be honest. He looks an okay horse, but not a horse I want to be taking 4-7 about. I thought he was very one-paced the other day. Adlepasdow, okay, might have been on soft ground, so we could forgive him that. And he bumped into a horse with fitness on his side in the shape of Hans Holborn. But ultimately, he failed to justify odds-on favouritism in a seven-runner race. So would you want to be going in again at 4-7 when you got a good each-way alternative? The answer for me is an affirmative no. And I'm going to go with Cradle Mountain here. What a price this is, William Hill. Probably the best bet on the card, really, from an each-way perspective. Impossible for this horse to be out the frame on the figures. Based on that run the other day, an improved run as well at that behind. A bit of a shock winner in the shape of Castle Lions, but I don't think there was anything flukish about that performance. I actually said that on the day, and I'll stick by that because I think the form's all right. You know, I fancied Zibek in that. He was third, had every chance, but got outpaced. And it's only when you go back and break down the numbers, look at the sectional times and the overall times, to see that the winner could be a very, very special horse. And Cradle Mountain, I think, was up against it trying to chase him home. But I don't think there's any, you know, failings in his ability to chase down a good horse from the front. And, like I say, the numbers stack up in that race, suggesting it was a really, really good maiden, a good performance by the winner. So Cradle Mountain here at 6-1. You know, good low draw, run under its belt. It's just absolutely crying out to be back to each way at 6-1. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. So he's the advice in the last in the 8-10.
Good stuff. Let's have a quick summary then, Andy, as always, if you'll spin us through your selections for Nace one more time.
Yeah, lots of each-way bets on the card tonight at Nace. So the 5-10 starts off with chasing tomorrow. In the 5:40, again, another solid each-way bet with the shape of Barbecue, around about the 6-1 mark. Two against the field in the 6:10 in Salutum and Shipyard from that good speed figure down in the Curry the other day. 6:40 is a bit of a guessing game, but I like the chances of Most Beautiful. Again, each-way bets very much to the forefront of my mind in the 7:10 with Great Minds. Also another each-way bet in the 7:40 with Lean and Keen. And then probably the best bet on the card at the prices has to be Cradle Mountain. 130 in the post. I'd have it around about a 3-1 shot. So we're getting double the price, William Hill. You must take this price. 6-1 each way. Probably one of the gift of the days.
Fantastic. Good work, Andy. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy Nace this evening.
Thanks, pal.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.